What's up, guys? Welcome to episode number 5 of the 25 Feet High Podcast. We're about to get going today, and it's me, Cade White, your host, and Zach Gibbs. He's going to be joining us here in just a second. Today, we're just going to pretty much just tell stories. We're going to talk about our first buck ever, which is more than likely both with rifles, and then we're going to talk about our first deer we ever killed with our bows. Just a little bit different pace of a podcast, just mainly storytelling. So we're about to get this thing going. I'm going to first thank all of our supporters of our podcast. First of all, y'all. We appreciate all the people that listen to them. And going from there, we'd like to thank Alabama Archery Academy. Alabama Archery Academy is your South Alabama Hoyt and Matthews dealer. Also providing archery lessons from beginner to national championship levels. Check them out on Facebook at Alabama Archery Academy. Next up, Black Eagle Arrows. Black Eagle Arrows provides superior arrow technology from the tournament trail to the hunting woods. Black Eagle Arrows has you. Check them out at blackeaglearrows.com. Threads Custom Bowstrings. Threads Custom Bowstrings is a family-owned and operated string company providing the fastest turnaround time in the industry on your pre-stretched bowstrings. If you are in the market for a new set of strings, give Threads a call. Tell them 25 High sent you. Last but not least is Native Scents. Native Scents is a truly Alabama-owned and farmed deer urine scent company. 100% natural, collected for hunters. Native Scents. We get results. All right, guys. Well, we're about to get started in this thing. This is just going to be story time with Cade and Zach. I appreciate y'all watching, and welcome to episode number 5 of the 25 Feet High Podcast.
Good, man.
I'm so grateful for the Lord allowing me to harvest this beautiful bird.
I got a freaking giant bass.
25 feet high, baby. This is awesome.
What's up, Cade? How you doing?
Good, Zach. How are you?
I'm all right.
So, we're going to talk about our first deer, our first buck we ever killed. We're just going to go back, tell our story on that. And then after we get done with that, we're going to go and tell our first story about a deer with a bow. First buck ever, then first deer with a bow.
Next week, squirrel hunting.
I'm waiting on you to come up with the stats, man.
I don't know anything about the stats. I just can tell you how to do it.
You got to have stats. You got to have stats for everything, bro.
I mean, you don't have to.
The only thing you don't have to have stats for are stories and opinions. There's a right way to squirrel hunt, isn't there? There's a right way to deer hunt. So why wouldn't there be a right way to squirrel hunt?
Well, there's a lot of right ways to squirrel hunt. We'll get into it. Maybe next week, maybe the next week. September 14th is opening day. I might actually get out that day and shoot about 4 dozen squirrels, even though that's... Okay, I'll shoot 8 squirrels, because that's what the legal limit in Alabama is.
I have no idea.
8. It's 8. 8 per day. And I think it's 8 in possession, too.
Isn't that the same thing?
Mm-mm.
All right. Let's not talk about squirrel hunting.
Okay. Well, I just want to say this real quick.
We're not running off on a tangent. Let's get started. Zach, tell me the story about the first buck you ever killed, point blank period. Who was you with? Run down the story to the best you can remember.
The first deer I ever killed. My family owns.
First buck.
First buck. Same thing. The first deer I ever killed was a buck. So anyway, my family owns a small patch of land. It's probably, I think it's somewhere between 10 and 12 acres, not far from where my hunting lease is. And back in the day, when I was a lot younger, we used to plant the food plot every year and keep it up a little bit nicer than it is now. Daddy knew there was some deer out there, and me and him went out one day, and we got in our little box blind. And at this point, I had never shot my deer hunting rifle. I was 8 years old. I don't remember the date, But I know I was 8 years old. I'd never shot a deer rifle. The only guns I'd ever shot was like a 22 or a BB gun.
Did your dad tell you that they were the same gun?
No.
So you wouldn't be scared about it. I've heard a lot of parents telling that, like, their kids shooting a 22, and then they'll throw in their 223 and just say it's the same gun. Kids don't pay that much attention to that, and then they don't feel the recoil until they're shooting a deer.
I don't know. Up until the day I shot my first deer, I was a little bit scared to shoot, like, a rifle. And then after I started shooting a rifle, I was a little bit scared to shoot a shotgun. I wouldn't shoot a 20 gauge till I was like 10 years old. I don't know why.
A 20 gauge?
Yeah, I shot a 410 till I was like 12 when I shot shotguns, and I never killed anything with it. But anyway, so there were some deer coming into the plot, and we went out one day, and we climbed up in this little box blind, a little shooting house. It was about 5 feet off the ground, maybe. And back then, the food plot looked like it was about 100 yards to the very end of it, but now it looks like it's about 50. But we climbed up in the box blind, and after about 30 or 45 minutes, maybe not even that long, I told my dad, I said, wake me up if you see anything. And I went to sleep in the bottom of the blind.
Shame.
I mean, it's not a very impressive story, honestly. And then it got on, it was probably a couple hours later. It was right before dark. My dad woke me up and said, hey, there's deer out there. There's some deer. That one on the left is a buck. And I woke up, obviously, and I picked up the gun, and we got it all situated, and Daddy said, you know, that one on the very left is a buck. And I couldn't see any antlers. I didn't know how big it was. I just knew it was a buck because Daddy said it was a buck. And we got the rifle situated, and I'm still a smaller person, but when I was 8 years old, I was a lot smaller than I am now.
And I would hope so.
I couldn't shoulder the gun and reach the trigger. And it's a youth model 243 Remington 700. And I still shoot that gun to this day. And I really couldn't reach the trigger. I think I probably could have, but either way, I couldn't reach the trigger, so my dad put his hand on the buttstock and I put my shoulder over it. And I lined up, and I got situated. My dad said, put it on the shoulder, put it on the shoulder. And I thought I was on his shoulder. And I got level and got situated. My dad was saying, take your time, take your time. And about halfway through the second time he said, take your time, I torched her off, sent that round down range. And I hit the deer. I knew I hit the deer. But what also happened was, my dad wasn't ready, and his hand was barely on the gun, and it flew back, and the ring of the scope hit me right in the eye. And of course, I said, ow, you know, I was like, that hurt.
And did young Zach tear up and cry a little bit?
Well, I was about to get to that. So my dad was like, you all right, you all right? I think you got him, I think you got him. You all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. That hurt, but I'm good. And he's like, my dad said, it's okay if you cry. It's all right. And I was like, I'm too excited to cry. I remember that's like one of the first things I said was, I'm too excited to cry. And I was shaking like a leaf for the next couple hours. And we made it down to the end of the plot. We gave him a little time because he ran out of the plot. And we made it down there. We found blood immediately, and it turned out the deer only ran probably 50 yards or so, and I hit it right behind the shoulder and get up there, and it's a little spike, about 4-inch spikes.
It's Alabama 11 point.
Pretty much. Yeah. One and one.
Oh, yeah.
And I was super excited, and even before that, but especially after that day, I was hooked.
So did you cut the horns off and get it put into like a little, one of the little horn mount things, or?
Well, what we actually did, it's pretty neat. My dad is somewhat skilled with a jigsaw, and he's also an engineer, so he wants everything to be perfect. And he cut out with a jigsaw the shape of the state of Alabama. And we mount it on a piece of, I think it's cedar planks, from my grandparents' yard. And it's getting back to, it really brings it full circle about, like, getting everybody into hunting, because, like, my granddad got my dad into hunting, and my dad got me into hunting, and I hunted with my granddad a lot. The tree that those cedar planks came off of fell down during Ivan, and they took it to the sawmill and got a bunch of planks cut off of it when the tree fell down. And most of my deer that have just a skull cap cut off are on cedar planks from the tree that fell down in my grandparents' yard.
That's pretty cool.
And two of the deer, the first two deer I killed, are in the shape, are a cedar plank from that tree, cut out in the shape of Alabama, of the state of Alabama, with my deer horns on them, out of that same tree.
That's cool. That's cool.
And it's also pretty cool. My cousin, I don't remember if it was his first deer ever, but he killed his, I'm pretty sure it was his first deer, and he killed a spike as well on the exact same day. And we got to clean them side by side.
That's awesome. What time of the year was that? Do you know about any month?
I do not remember it at all. I remember it was hunting season, and it was cold.
I remember the date that I killed my first buck.
Now tell us about it.
Well, all right, so we used to be on a lease that my dad is probably one of the first steel hunting, tree stand hunting type of lease my dad was in. He did a lot of dog hunting when he first started hunting.
Yeah, my dad did too.
And then it kind of just evolved to more of the steel hunting out of tree stands and shooting houses and stuff like that. But this old lease, our current hunting club is named just by, like, the plots are numbered, like most people number plots. But at the
not
old
on
lease,
my club.
Yeah, most people number them, but at this club we had them, there were names. Like, there was Mickey Patch from Jesse Patch, just for guys that hunted with us that killed pretty much the biggest deer or the first deer out of that plot, they named it after. So I killed my very first deer in the Todd Patch that was named after my dad, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
And I was 8 years old. I killed a doe that same year when I was seven, turned eight in January, and went, my dad took me hunting. It was January the 31st, and my dad took me hunting, and my dad kind of dozed off, and I stayed awake. And it's really fun to listen to my dad tell this story, but he was asleep, and there was a buck walked out, and I nudged him with my elbow and said, "Dad, there's a buck. Dad, there's a buck." And he said, "Really?" And he started leaning forward. Well, when my dad started leaning forward, I said, "Stop. Stop." Because the buck was looking at us. And then I said, "Okay." After the buck put his head down and my dad leaned forward, he saw that, oh, it's a shooter. Like, it, up until recently, it was one of my best bucks I ever killed. He was nothing massive. He was, I think I measured him out, he's like a 97 inch 8-point.
That's still a pretty good deer for around here.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. But so I got my, I was big enough to hold the gun. It was a single shot New England Arms 223. It was actually my sister's gun that my dad bought for my sister, but my sister never got into hunting at younger age. She does a little bit now, but she didn't care to do it then. She went when she was younger and then just kind of stopped. Had an old Nikon Pro Staff cheaper scope on it. Thing you couldn't hardly see. Like 30 minutes or right at sunset, as soon as those trees started going behind, you couldn't hardly see nothing out of them.
Yeah.
And dad hands me a gun and or helps me set it up on the shooting house nice and slowly, make sure it don't make any noise and stuff like that. And I kind of have to pretty much like get up on his knee to shoot out of it because it was so tall. And I put that scope on that deer and I squeeze off that trigger and you don't know to watch through the scope after you shoot at that age. You just aim, you squeeze, and then you like you go blank for a second.
You hit it.
Yeah. And my dad said, "You got it, you got it." He mule kicked. He mule kicked, like he said he doubled his height and like he went full vertical on that mule kick. And you know, I'm excited. I'm shaking and I'm thanking the Lord and stuff like that. That's one thing I always did when I was really young. I still do today. I prayed a lot in the stand. And I still, I mean, the closest I feel to God's when I'm in a tree stand hunting. And that I'm sitting there thanking the Lord. And anyway, we let a few minutes pass. Dad's got a good idea that the buck's dead, you know, and my dad's got this trick about tracking, and I would highly recommend y'all do it too because it is very convenient and it would help. It would help. There's a couple of times I forgot to do this and it hurts you. But if you take toilet paper to the woods, and what my dad did is it was still daylight and it was relatively early. I can't remember if it was a morning hunt or an evening hunt, but it was daylight. Like pretty much the whole recovery and stuff. I think it was an afternoon. And my dad takes the toilet paper and he goes and trails it. And I'm standing in the middle of the food plot yelling at him. He's like, "You found it yet? You found it yet?"
Expand on the toilet paper thing just a little bit.
I am. And anyway, my dad's trailing and stuff like that. And what my dad does with the toilet papers, every time he finds a drop of blood, he rips off a little piece of that toilet paper and lays it on the blood or right beside it. That way you can, if you lose blood, you can go back to it and start looking again, you know. And you don't have to worry about picking it up because with cheap toilet paper, after one rain, it's dissolved anyway, you know. And he's trailing that deer and he cuts his lip on a thorn bush or something, and he walks back up there to me and he says, "All right, so follow the toilet paper and see if you can find any more blood." He cut his lip, he went back to truck to get another napkin or something. I don't know if he I know he cut his lip, but I don't think that was the reason he went back to his truck, you know.
Probably not.
I'm walking and like I'm focused in. I am staring at the ground, looking at toilet paper. And I'm walking and I say, "There's a piece," and I go to that piece and there's a piece. Like pretty much he's teaching me how to track.
Yeah.
Just using obvious toilet paper instead of looking for blood necessarily. And I'm walking and I'm looking, I'm finding toilet paper. I got my head straight down to the ground. And I take another step forward and that buck's laying right there at my feet. And I turn around and I yell at him. I yelled at my dad, says, "You found him. You found him." And it was just pretty awesome. It's like I'm just sitting there looking at him shaking and stuff like that. My dad comes back in the woods and gets up to me, and then we do our thing. We prayed over the deer, and it was just an awesome experience. And I got that deer mounted. My dad got it shoulder mounted for me. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was by the same person that mounted Mohican.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that deer is in our guest room now. It used to be my room. And he's hanging up, and he is just every time I see him, that memory pops back up in my mind. But what's really funny, and if you listen to this, I live next to a railroad track, right? Y'all heard us apologize for the trains going by, and the ones liable to go by here in just a little bit. But it was 7 years after I killed that deer. I was 15 years old, and that was when I was sleeping in the room that he's mounted in. And it was January the 31st at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm asleep. I mean, it's the morning of January 31st at 1 o'clock in the morning. And that deer falls off the wall on the 7th year anniversary of the day I killed it.
Wow.
It fell off the wall. I guess a train, just enough years of trains going by, just made it come loose in the wall and it fell off. It scared me to death now.
I wouldn't have slept the rest of the night.
Yeah, I'm 15, so, you know, you're still at that age. You might get scared about stuff like that, just the coincidence of that happening. But it didn't hurt the deer, the mount. So it just scared me, and I don't know really why I told that to this, but it's just pretty funny that it just so happened to fall off the wall on the 7th year anniversary of the day I killed it.
That's pretty crazy.
But that was my very first deer, and it's a lot better to hear my dad tell that story because he gets my full, like, he explains my full reaction. And, like, when I first saw that deer, my eyes were as wide open as they could be. And I'm telling him, that's a buck. He said, how big is it? And I said, eight point. Like, I don't even remember counting it. I just saw the buck, and I said, 8 point. I wanted to shoot him, and dad let me shoot him, and
The first rack buck I shot, it's a pretty interesting story that we'll tell later, but I couldn't see the antlers at all, but my dad just said it was a buck, so I shot it.
Yeah.
Like the first rack buck.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool that I killed my first buck in a plot named after my dad on the very last day of the season then. The season ran out on January 31st then. Yep. That was the last day. And now it goes February 10th, but I killed him on the last day. And I got another story. I could have killed another buck earlier that year, but it's another cool story that I had to tell another day as we get to where we need to. We do more story times with y'all. But it's an awesome story. I can't wait to share it with y'all one day. I might get my dad in here to share that story.
Yeah, your dad would be a good podcast guest.
Yeah, he enjoys talking.
Yeah, he does, and he can get pretty animated.
Yeah.
We might need to film that podcast.
Yeah, that could be pretty funny. But that was my first buck story. It took, Lord, I can't. Like, after I killed that 8 point, I killed, like, within the next 5 years, I didn't kill another good rat buck. I killed a spike and a couple 5 points and 1 7, I think. And just until the past 5 years, I've been able to get bucks that were on par with him. And then Mohican finally, like, edged him out, beat him. I mean, I killed a buck that was almost as big as Mohican the year before, but he didn't have the significance of either Mohican or, you know, my first deer.
Yeah.
So he's a good buck, and I'm proud of him. He's the oldest buck I ever killed.
Wasn't he like 8 and a half, something like that?
I took him to a couple different people to get aged, and one guy said 7 and a half, and the other said 8 and a half, so I just go with our youngest one.
That's still an old deer for our area.
Very old. But he was a really good buck. He just he was actually on his downside. He was getting smaller.
Which this is a bit of a tangent, but I believe that around here is different than most places. Like, there's a lot of places that bucks don't start going downhill until they're like 6.5 or 7.5. But I feel like we just don't have the nutrients to really keep deer on an uphill growth until after like 5.5, you know.
Yeah, a buck in his prime around here is 4.5 to 5.5 years yeah. old.
And in most places, they don't shoot deer till they're 6.5. Or in some places, they don't shoot deer till they're 6.5, 7.5.
Yeah. But that's a good idea for a future podcast. Yeah. We actually pull up some stats and read up on that. But going from there, I don't feel like I gave my story, and I'm sure you feel the way, true justice, but it's kind of hard to express in words how you feel about that particular moment in your life.
Definitely.
The moment I killed my first deer, it was a doe, and I was hooked, son. I did the whole walking up to him with that gun in my hand, poking him on the butt, even though it was unloaded, poking the doe on the butt, you know, making sure it didn't get up. I was hooked. And ever since then, like, I've lived, like, most of my life waiting for hunting season.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was shooting a bow back then. I was shooting a bow from the time I was 4 years old all the way to now. So, it's pretty, kind of funny. I can walk up to like 18-year-olds and tell them I've been shooting a bow since before you were born. And I'm only 23 years old, so it's pretty funny. But I didn't start bow hunting until I was 13, I think, because that was about the age that that's really about the age you start getting old enough you can hunt by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you start having the capacity to be able to hunt by yourself, make some of your own decisions, stuff like that. But my dad would never be far from me.
Yeah.
He would be 100 yards through the woods or in the food plot right next to me or stuff like that. And we had walkie-talkies back then.
We used to run those too.
Yeah, because that was back before I had, you know, cell phones and stuff like that. And we would talk to each other and stuff like that. The day that I killed my very first deer with a bow, we had our walkie-talkies, but they wouldn't work. We couldn't talk to each other. But I'm going to let Zach tell his first story of his first ever deer with a bow. Tell me what your equipment was, a little bit what you remember what your equipment was, and then run us through the whole scenario.
So, I mean, the story's not anything super crazy. I mean, it's very special to me because, you know, it's first deer with a bow, and after then I rarely hunted with a rifle. You know, I just fell in love with bow hunting. But either way, so I remember on my birthday, which is July 27th, I was asking for a bow. I wanted a bow, and I don't remember how old I was, but it was probably around 14, 15, something around there. And I've been asking for a bow for my birthday since like May. And finally, my birthday rolls around and my dad gets me a Diamond Infinite Edge.
Oh, pro stuff right there. Starting off with top notch. That's actually a really good bow for...
Yeah. For a beginner, yeah,
or it's a good bow.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, he gets that for me, and it's like the full hunter package. It's got like the plastic sights, plastic quiver, all that stuff, and
a little hostage rest.
Yeah, and I remember my stabilizer. I didn't have a stabilizer for the first like month and a half that I was shooting. And I think I used my birthday money to buy, like, the stabilizer I was using was literally just a weight that screwed into my bow.
How old were you again?
I want to say I was around 14 or 15.
Okay.
I know I was around that, but I don't remember exactly.
Because we'll tell the, we may tell this story today, but on this podcast, but that bow is the reason me and Zach met.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. It really is, yeah. So I started shooting it for a while, and I was just falling in love with shooting a bow. And the only bow I had shot up until then was an old Genesis. Now, I got that when I was, I think I got it for Christmas when I was like 10 or 12, somewhere around in there. And I actually took that hunting one time. And my dad was like, well, I'll take you and you can have that bow, but I don't know if it'll kill a deer. We sat up in a ladder stand.
Not recommended.
Yeah, I would not recommend shooting a deer with a Genesis. But he actually, we had about four armadillos come in that afternoon, and he shot at one of them and barely missed it with his broadhead and everything, just because I wanted one of us to kill something.
Yeah.
And but anyway, I'd been practicing, and I got all set up and everything, and you know, a couple weeks before season, we went into the local outdoor store that Cade was working in, and I got it.
That I worked in ladder.
Hmm?
Was that when I was working there?
Yeah.
So you shot that bow for roughly 2 years before you ever killed a deer with it?
No.
Year and a half? Because, let's see, okay.
It must
that
have
makes
been when
sense.
I was 15.
That makes sense. Yeah, it had to be when you're 15, because I'm 3 years older than you. And I started working there when I graduated from high school when I was 18.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I was 15. Yeah, and you know, I fell in love with shooting a bow, and I brought it in. My dad just told me to take both of our bows up there. Or we actually went together to take both our bows up there, and I didn't know what he meant, but he's like, we need to get them tuned up. And I'm pretty sure Kay just looked at them and said, yeah, they're good to go.
No, I did not.
Well, I mean, we didn't paper tune or anything. You just sort
checked
of
them out. I was young.
Yeah, we just sort of checked him over and said, yeah, they're good to go, and then we walked out.
And the guy that that was working at that time checked them out too, that worked with me, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, I didn't know what anything meant. I'm still kind of iffy on it. But either way, I had like a 20, a 30, and a 40-yard pin. And I think those were the only three pins I had. And I was like, well, I need to get used to shooting in between yards. My dad mentioned it to me. You need to get used to shooting in between, because the deer's not always going to walk out at 20 and 30 and 40 yards.
Yeah, gap shooting.
Yeah. So I started practicing at 25 and 35. And so that year, we actually set up at one spot specific for bow hunting, because nobody on my lease, even now, hardly anybody bow hunts except for me. And we set up this one spot. It was like a very small food plot on like an old logging road. And we put a ladder stand up in the edge of it. And it was opening day of bow season. I think we had a camera and we had seen a few does coming through there. And I just wanted to kill whatever walked out. And at that time, at that time, it was legal to shoot does opening day.
Yeah, well, the first 10 days of bow season being buck only is only about 3 years old now. So.
Yeah. So back then it was legal to shoot does on opening day. And I'd been sitting there, and actually, after about an hour of sitting, I mean, it was not very long at all, I saw it was two does and a spotted fawn. And I'd already figured out that the spotted fawn, or it actually wasn't spotted at the time. It was just a fawn. And I figured out that fawn was more closely feeding with this one doe. So I was like, as soon as that other doe gets close enough for a shot, I'm going to shoot her. And I watched them for at least 2 hours. And they were staying past 50 yards the entire time.
That's a lot of time to think.
Especially when you've never bow hunted before. Like, yeah. This was literally my first sit with a real bow.
Yeah, typically is thinking a lot is the enemy of a rookie bow hunter.
Definitely. And I'm sitting there, and I was watching them for forever. And they never would come in closer to me. And they never knew I was there. It wasn't like they were spooked for me. They just were feeding in the very back of this little plot. And they started coming my way. And one of them got about 40 yards. And I was getting ready. And then they spooked. And all three of them ran in the woods. And I don't know what they spooked from. Still to this day, I have no clue what happened. And I was like, well, dang it, there goes my shot. And a few minutes later, they come back out in the food plot, in the very back of the food plot, and they start coming my way again. So I'm thinking, here we go. You know, I'm about to kill my deer, my first ever deer with a bow. And also, I was shooting like 45 pounds, shooting a Schwacker two-blade. I wouldn't really suggest that, but that's what I was doing.
It works.
It works.
They'll open.
Yeah. So,
what we suggest if you're shooting that low poundage, get the low poundage one.
Either the low poundage one or shoot a fixed blade.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were coming in, and the very lead doe, which was the one that didn't have the fawn, I'm pretty sure, gets about 40 yards away and was facing directly at me. And I was getting ready. I had already stood up. I had my release hooked in and everything. And then she stops and looks in the woods a little ways. And she just stands there for what felt like 20 minutes, but it was probably 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And just so happened, I don't know how, it was a divine intervention, I believe. This doe walks out right next to the tree that I had marked at 25 yards. And I had been practicing hard at 25 yards. And she walks out right next to that tree, gets perfect broadside, looks at the other does. None of them knew I was there. I drew back while that doe was still looking at the other does. And I shot. And I hit her. And I knew it was a gut shot. And I hit her. I mean, it wasn't a bad gut shot. It probably got liver and everything. It was a lethal shot. And I saw her run out of the plot with the arrow hanging out of her. And she ran in the woods, and I was, like, just shaking like a freaking leaf. And I'm pretty sure we were still shooting. Or I'm pretty sure we were still running the walkie-talkies, but I'm not exactly sure. My dad wasn't far from me. And he told me, hoot like an owl if you shoot something. So I was sitting there shaking, and I was just freaking out. It took me like 10 minutes to get the composure to actually hoot like an owl. And I did. And then, I don't think we were running walkie-talkies, but I hooted like an owl. And my dad had told me, wait 30 minutes before you climb out of the tree. And about 30 minutes rolled around. And my dad still wasn't there, and I was too nervous to go down and start trying to blood trail a deer.
Yeah.
So time rolled on, and my dad finally shows up and said, will you get one? I was like, yeah, I watched it run out with the arrow. And he was like, okay, that's awesome. And he actually missed a deer right after I shot my deer.
Really?
Yeah, he missed one. It was just a crazy shot, crazy thing. It came out at like 20 yards. Like, literally right after I owl hooted, or right before, or something like that. Because I remember him saying he heard it, and right about the time those does came out. It may have been the same does that I had been watching all evening, honestly, because he wasn't too far away. But either way, we start trailing that deer, and we end up finding the arrow just barely in the woods. And we found a lot of some decent blood. And I remember it was weird, because the majority of the time when you're trailing a deer is going to go the easiest path, the path of least resistance. And we found blood straight through, like, yaupon bushes.
If you start seeing where deer go through the path of least if they go through that thick stuff after you shoot them, you know you've more likely killed them because they're not thinking clearly. They're just running. They're just, pure running.
Yeah, now looking back, that makes sense. But at the time, it was just weird because my dad was like, hey, I know she didn't go this way. And it'd be like a yaupon bush and two trails on either side of it. Yeah. And then we'd end up finding blood in that yaupon bush. So she only ran about 75 yards and we found her and it was hot and she was already bloated a little bit, but it was fine. We took her home and cleaned her out and ate her.
Really?
It was a very, very fun hunt. After that, I've been hooked on bow hunting.
So how long do you think guesstimate it went? How many yards?
75 to 100. I mean, it wasn't
that's
too
not,
far.
That's not bad.
That'd it mean, was just, yeah, the it took us a while to track her just because it was thick.
Yeah.
And we couldn't, I mean, there was only one spot around there that we could actually stand up, and that was right where she fell.
Yeah.
Like, we were on our hands and knees pretty much just to get through the how yeah. thick it was.
I've had one do that kind of before, just to clear everywhere and then run through the absolute thickest stuff and die in the middle of the absolute thickest stuff that you can imagine, but nothing else be. You have like a 10 by 10 square of the thickest stuff you could possibly try to walk through,
and the rest of it's
pretty open, and that deer is in that thick stuff. Just because I guess they just don't think clearly when they're dying. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, but it was also pretty funny because we found the deer, and I mean, even to this day, I don't have the best sense of direction. And my dad was like, well, I'll walk out and get the truck, you sit here. And
that was a mistake.
Well, I did sit there. I sat right there right next to that doe until my dad walked back over there, and I think I heard a coyote and got really freaked out because I was like, oh, it's going to come to this. It knows that there's a dead deer, you know. I'm about to get attacked by a coyote and all I got is a bow.
That's when you're grabbing those broadheads, you're holding them, and you're shaking. You're like, let's do this.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we got her out. It was, and I remember telling my dad, I was like, we need to go this way. And he was like, well, no, the truck's right over there. And we drove it through the thick woods so we wouldn't have to drag it back to the food plot, and it worked out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That there's nothing like that first one.
Nothing like it.
I mean, you still get that feeling, but it's a culmination of, and you still get this feeling some, but all the hard work that you put in when you first start shooting a bow, years or sometimes years. You know, and you just work on shooting, you learn how to shoot, and then you go hunt and you finally get presented with that very first chance. You have to overcome all those nerves to draw back, to realize how far it is, to aiming and to making that shot, and just all that relief that hits at you as soon as it's gone, like that monkey lifted off your back. You now have finally successfully killed a deer. It's that relief while that adrenaline's pumping.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Which I kind of got a double dose of that because I got super lucky on my very first archery deer hunt, pretty much. I mean, it was the very first afternoon I'd ever truly hunted with a bow.
I don't know if it's necessarily luck or I think it's more of a blessing.
Oh, well, yeah. But what I was getting at is, it took me 4 years after that to kill a single deer afterwards with a bow, and that deer was a buck on public land.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
if you really break it down, last season was the first time I ever killed rack bucks. My 6-point was my first ever rack buck. That was a good rack. You know, it was a good buck. And then I killed Mohican afterwards and got just, it's pretty awesome that I was able to get both of my very first rack bucks on camera.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't get it totally on camera, but still adding in that self filming aspect to it, it was a crazy roller coaster that day.
Yeah.
But
part of that's being a rookie at self filming. Yeah. You don't know where to put the camera to get yourself the best opportunity. And when you were hunting in that position, you didn't know where the deer were coming from.
So yeah, I thought they were going to walk. The way I set up, I thought the deer, in the instance where I killed my first deer, I thought they were going to walk down this fire lane and then come into the little oak flat that I was sitting in. And that deer came in straight behind me.
Yeah.
And I set up very wrong, but it turned out to be perfect because the wind was at my back. And 99% of the time, I would say don't do that.
Yeah. Usually you want the wind hitting you somewhere in your face.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. Pretty cool story. It's like, it kind of felt like, you know, it was meant to be.
Definitely.
Like the good Lord bless you. It's just one of those times you put in the work practicing as a young 15-year-old Zach. Yep. Sitting out there shooting at 25 yards all the time. That deer just so happens to walk out at 25 yards.
And I remember, like, I had ranged that tree, and I said, okay, that pine tree right there is exactly 25 yards. And I don't remember which side of the tree that deer walked out on, but it walked out, like, just about scratching its side on that tree.
That intuition that the Lord gave you, it's like, you need to range that tree.
Yep.
If you're ever in the woods and just something pops in your mind just randomly, like, range that tree that's 25 yards behind you, do it just to make sure, you know.
Exactly.
Because that might be a higher power trying to help you out in the near future.
Yeah.
But going for that, my first deer with a bow is a whole lot of what some would consider luck that I consider a true blessing. Well, as I established earlier, I started shooting a bow when I was 4 years old with my dad. Then we traveled and shot tournaments, and then my sister picked up shooting a bow right about the same year that, or close to the same time frame that I started to bow hunt. I killed my first deer with my bow when I was 13. I probably started bow hunting when I was 11. My dad sends me to this food plot, and I go down, and he walks with me. I climb up. He kind of follows up after me, hands me my bow, and I'm sitting there holding my bow, and I'm sitting in a single man ladder stand, got safety harness on, everything. You know, a lot of times now, if I'm rifle hunting, sitting in a single man, sometimes I don't wear the harness and stuff like that, but using a bow, I would. And I'm sitting there, and I got a food plot straight out in front of me, and I got some oak trees, acorns to my left. And so my dad told me that they were traveling, you know, walking in 20 yards from me, going to those acorn trees, and then working their way into the food plot. Well, the deer I shot that day didn't get that memo.
Which they usually don't.
Yeah, they didn't. They usually don't. But so it is, you know, I killed this deer during bow season, or the very first week of rifle season, something like that. And I'm sitting in this stand, and that doe walks out of the very back end of the food plot and is working its way to me. And I have a 20, a 25, a 30, and a 35 yard pin. So I'm sitting there, it's like, okay, maybe this deer is going to work its way to me. It's about an hour before dark, and I'm sitting there watching this deer, and it slowly, slowly works its way to 50 yards. 50 yards. I have a 35-yard pin. Well, as I established, I've shot a bow at this point. I've shot a bow a lot. I knew how pin gaps work. I could estimate about how far, you know, where, how high I would need to aim at 40 and stuff like that. And I've actually, with that bow, I practiced with it at 50 yards, even with a 35 yard pin, shooting with my bubble on my side.
Your level bubble?
Yeah, the level bubble on my side. And I'm shooting a Ben Pearson Legend at this point and running Swiker broadheads, shooting probably 50 pounds, 45 to 50 pounds. And I'm sitting there watching that deer, and it like locks up at 50. The deer don't know I'm there, but it just naturally locks up at 50 yards. It gets to about 20 minutes before dark. And 13-year-old me is growing very impatient. So I don't recommend doing this, but I've been hunting, like I said, bow hunting for about 2 years at that point. And I was ready to kill my first deer with a bow. So I'm sitting in this ladder stand, and I kind of stand up and put my knee on the seat, and I have my right knee on the seat of that chair or on that stand, and then I'm standing up on the platform with my left leg. And I said, the worst thing I'm going to have to do is look for an arrow. Right? You know, if you miss, that was the worst thing you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
So I draw back. I range it first. Make sure, again, it's 50 yards. I draw back and literally say, semi out loud, Lord, please guide this arrow. I'm drawn back and I'm aiming, and I put my 35 yard pin on her where I want it, and then I raise up my bubble and put my bubble on her behind the shoulder, put my bubble on her, and I just squeeze it off. That arrow, you know, in this time, and anybody that's ever killed a deer knows, like, things happen in slow motion. Like,
yeah.
Like your heartbeat raises up. You can start seeing things in what feels like slow motion. That deer literally ducks. It hears my bow go off, ducks, stand back up, starts flipping around to run. My arrow makes it there and goes straight through her jugular. Straight through her jugular. In front of, you know, in her neck. And I hear that sound, that's such a substantial sound that you hear when you hit a deer.
That's the first time
I heard it. The only thing I knew that my dad describes, like, when you hit a deer, you'll know it.
Yeah.
Because you'll hear that sound.
It's a very distinct sound when you hit a deer with an arrow.
And especially with a mechanical broadhead.
Yeah.
Because it just pops. And it's a incredible sound.
That's a fact.
And that deer runs off. I don't, like, I'm new to this. I just know which way the deer ran. I know which way it ran out of the plot. So my dad always made me stay in the stand until he came back to get me. So he could climb up halfway up the stand. I could hand him my bow, and then I climb down. Well, my dad's walking up, and he said, "Do you see anything?" I said, "I shot one." You know, after I get over my nerves, it's like 25, 30 minutes have passed, and
yeah.
I'm calmed down a little bit. And he's like, did you see one?" I said, "I shot one. I shot one." He said, "Really? Really?" I said, "Where was it?" I said, "It was 50 yards away." He knew I only had 35 yard pin. He said, "Oh crap, you didn't hit that deer." I said, "Dad, I heard it. I heard that noise." I heard that noise, and he said, "All right, well, let's get you down, and let's go tell me, go show me where he was at, or where she was at." So I get my, I grab my rangefinder.
I could imagine your dad was not super happy at this point.
Yeah, like he's not he's not pumped up at all. Like if anything, he may be a little bit disappointed I took the shot.
Oh yeah, I could imagine.
So
I know Todd.
So if anything, he's a little bit disappointed I took this shot at this point. And I walked out to where I thought was the deer was at, ranged the tree again, put the flashlight on. It wasn't accurate. I put a flashlight on the tree, ranged the tree 50-ish yards. Anyway, we got to looking on the ground. We saw where the deer ran and broke and stuff like that, where that fresh dirt was turned up. And we are looking around, and for a couple minutes, don't see. I mean, we're looking around right there where I shot it for a couple minutes, don't see any blood. Find my arrow eventually, and it's buried in the ground. Completely buried in the ground. Pull it out, and dirt stuck to it. And what looked like a little bit of blood. Well, if you shoot through the jugular, it's not in the deer very long to pick up much blood, you know? So, at this point, Dad's thinking I missed, you know. Mm-hmm. And, well, I said, well, it ran this way. And I pointed which way it ran. And we're sitting there and we got our flashlights and we're walking slowly all the way up to the about 5 feet before you get to the edge of the plot. To the where the grass, where the, you know, the woods start.
Yeah.
And there is a spot of blood. Now, at the edge of the food plot, there's weeds. And the weeds are about 4 feet tall. So, we're easing up to the food to the edge of the food plot, find that little spot of blood. And we walk up to the edge of the food plot to look at the... Because my dad's very slow and methodical about how he looks for a deer. That deer could literally run 10 yards. It would take my dad and half an hour to find it. Yeah, because he's so slow about looking for them.
That's the same way my dad is.
And that's one thing I've tried to make sure I make a point is enjoy tracking so you are better at it.
Exactly.
And if you take your time and look, and we're right there at that plot, and me being young, I just take my flashlight up and I raise it up, and I'm shining the woods, and that deer is literally laying 4 feet from us in the ground, like on the ground, dead as a doornail. And we walk up to it, and its throat is cut from my broadhead, and it, like, is, you know, a lot of blood on the ground.
I'd imagine.
And that's when that relief and excitement hit me again, and my dad got to where he was, really, really happy for me, proud of me, and all that stuff. And again, we high fived and hugged and prayed over that deer. And then eventually got out, and that was the first deer I ever killed with a bow. So, what's I keep replaying in my mind, thinking about that day, is how I shot that deer, ducked, stood back up, and started turning around, and that arrow went through her throat. Now, how much more blessed / luck can you get right there? And I can't remember how long it was after that I killed another deer, but I don't think I killed another one with my bow that year.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But that was, I've killed caught a couple now. Quite a couple. So
quite a couple.
Quite a couple now.
That should be a t-shirt or something.
Good idea. Might have to get our guys working on that.
Yeah.
Our guys, us.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember what my next one was after that. But it was quite a few does that I killed with my bow. And then I killed, one or two small bucks that were just – I guess technically rack bucks, but not really. You know, they're like
little basket racks.
4 or 5 points, like maybe a 5 point. I don't know. And then I worked my way up. And then, like, so you're talking from the time I was 13 to the time I was 22, it took me that long before I killed a rack buck, like a true rack buck with my bow.
Which, yeah, that's one thing. Like, my dad, whenever I said I wanted to get into bow hunting, he said, yeah, I used to bow hunt, you know, and he's still using the same bow to this day that he's pretty much started bow hunting with.
Bow's like 30 years old now.
Yeah. But either way, he said, the only reason I got into bow hunting was because I could hunt a month longer. And he said that in all of his years of bow hunting, he only had one chance at a buck, and the only reason you need to bow hunt is to shoot does. And I don't know. I mean, honestly, from my experience, if you can pattern out a deer, a buck deer, before season starts, the easiest time to kill that deer is that first week of bow season.
That's my favorite time to seriously buck hunt. During bow season. And
because,
then,
I mean, all they're doing
during rifle season,
all they are doing is going from bed to feed.
Yeah.
Like, that is 99% of what a buck does in the early season. As soon as that, like, right around from the time they start growing, well, pretty much from the time that they lose their antlers till the time they start rutting again.
They're going bed to feed. And, they pretty much do that all the way through early January around here. Yeah. But the thing is when rifle season starts and those rifle shots start popping off, they start going from bed to feed
at night.
At night. So
you or they go to the feed that's real secluded that nobody knows about.
Yeah. That you should get out and find.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much our stories of our first deer we ever killed. So what's funny, it's kind of cool how you brought, I didn't realize how close it was, because me and Zach talked to each other for a couple years, for a year, really. With him just coming in as a customer and being a young customer that used to bother the crap out of me first coming in there. And then we ended up being friends because I convinced him to go shoot an archery tournament with me.
Yeah. It's actually a kind of funny story. My mom told me about your sister, like, speaking at something about, like, shooting a bow or something like that, because she still is, you know, big into archery and the tournaments and stuff. My mom told me, back then I was like, yeah, I'm a pretty good shot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like most people that get into archery, they're like, yeah, I'm a pretty good shot.
Yeah.
As far as tournaments go, you know. So my mom told me, it's like, yeah, her brother is that dude, it's that guy that works in that outdoor store. And I was like, oh, really? Yeah, that guy. And so I actually went in one day and said, I want to shoot a tournament. Tell me what to do. Help me out a little bit.
Yeah, and I said pretty much on the lines. It just so happened to have a local tournament coming up. And I said, well, here, go with me to this one. And I'll kind of show you how it works and stuff like that. It was just a local tournament. That's not too far from where my shop is today. So we went out there and shot. And you get to realize, you know,
you're not that great of a shot.
Yeah, you go from backyard warrior to local tournament, and then you go from the local, you get to where you're really good at those local tournaments.
Then you go to an ASA,
then you go to a state tournament, and then you work, and then you shoot in state tournaments, and you get to where you're pretty good at state tournaments.
Well, I didn't shoot state tournaments. Yeah. I went straight from local tournaments to... Yeah, I'm going to go to an ASA and clean up. Yeah.
And then you can be one of the best people in the state. And then when you go to those national tournaments, you go from really good to really average really quick.
Yep.
Because that's a correlation of all the guys that are really good at their state tournaments. And then you get thrown in a class with all of them, and then you get to go from really good to really average.
Yep.
But we started – so the first time we ever hung out was – because we met at that store, I worked on your bow. You end up dry firing that bow not too long after that.
We don't have to talk about that.
I fixed it, or broke it. It broke broke something of it.
Well,
didn't bend the cam or something like that.
The cams. It was so. Going, if you want me to tell kind of the full story, I was practicing at night with a flashlight strapped to my, like, duct tape to my stabilizer.
Oh, genius move right
because,
there.
Because, well, here's the thing. There used to be a lot of rabbits around my yard, and the only time you'd see them was at night, and I wanted to kill everything with my bow. So I bought some small game tips, and we literally walk around and shoot at rabbits. I've only killed one rabbit with my bow, and this was well after this, but besides that, I was practicing at night to try to get better at shooting rabbits with my bow. And I don't know how it happened. I was so focused on getting a good shot off, I guess, that I forgot to put the arrow on the string.
You're focused so much on getting the shot off, you forgot to put the projectile on the bow.
Yes. And I'm telling you what, like, when I drew back and I got leveled off, that would have been the best shot that I made that night.
Oh, that's how it always happens.
I was so focused in, and that pin just settled in perfect. And when I squeezed the trigger off, it sounded like a 22 going off right next to me. And I was like, what just happened? And my string was loose. And what actually happened was, like, the string, the limb stops on the cam busted through the limb.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that now.
On both limbs.
Yeah. Worked on so many bows in my life. I can't remember. But, yeah, and I remember I had to get you new limbs.
We didn't tell Diamond that it was a dry fire. We just said something happened.
Something did happen.
I actually spent like 20 minutes that night looking for that arrow. And I was like, how on earth can I not find this arrow?
Then you're walking inside with your head held low. You're thinking you're about to get in so much trouble. I mean, first time I dropped, it could be worse. I've dry fired a bow twice. And if you shoot long enough, you're going to do it. So don't judge me. I've seen so many people do it. So if you shoot long enough, you're going to get complacent and you're going to forget to load arrow. You're going to dry fire your bow. The first time I dry fired my bow, it was standing next to my dad. It was a Pearson bow. It was a Z-34. That was back when, like, my first kind of job was I helped at the factory some. That was 6 miles from my house. My dad did the shooting staff coordinating for them and stuff like that. And I didn't really get paid. I just worked. You know, I like to learn. And I'm standing there with the owner of Pearson, which is actually still a really good friend of ours. His name is Jeremy Blackman. And then a couple of the guys that worked there beside my dad. And then I think one other guy that was, like, really good. And I'm not going to say that because I can't remember if he was exactly there. And I think he was. And we're shooting a target behind Ben Pearson's factory. And I draw back and dry fire my bow. Luckily, it didn't break anything. It didn't derail. It just made a really loud noise. I mean, I was at the factory, so if something happened, I could have fixed it. But
that would have to be like a very humbling experience.
It was so embarrassing. Are you talking, I'm 14 or 15 at this time? Like, I shouldn't be doing this. I've been shooting a bow since I was 4. Yeah, that's 10 years roughly of shooting a bow. And yeah, that was the first time I ever dry fired a bow. And the next time I dry fired a bow was like when I was 17, I think. And it was my hunting bow. And I'm not going to get into that story because it's kind of embarrassing. But it's going to happen eventually. But yeah, so Zach came in because he dry fired his bow. I got the new parts in for it. We fixed it. And then not too long after that, was that before or after the tournament?
I don't remember.
I think that was after the tournament.
I think it was because I remember you told me to go down to the Klondike and shoot that one of those on the Thursday night light deal.
Yeah, if you if y'all live in around our area, Klondike is an archery park in Pensacola. It's run by Panhandle Bow Hunters.
It's a pretty nice place.
It's a really nice facility.
But yeah, you told me to go down there to get a feel for it, and like it was like the next week or 2 weeks later that we went to that tournament, that local tournament together. And then I remember, I actually remember, I wanted to find out how to like customize like the colors and stuff on my bow, and I was trying to find like a grip and like all sorts of stuff that would match my bow. And I actually got my very first set of non-factory strings was threads, custom bow strings.
Yeah. And then we got he coming in and us just hanging out talking about hunting and shooting and stuff. And he went to a few more tournaments with me locally. And then it just kind of became where we were just pretty much best friends.
Pretty much,
Gradually grew into that. And now we do YouTube together, do this podcast together, everything 25 high. Even, I mean, we started hunting together some pretty much two years before we ever decided to do this. You had your YouTube channel and ZZ Topwater that you did fishing stuff on.
Yeah.
And then you said one day, he's like, let's start a outdoor channel on YouTube. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. Yeah. Like 3 months passed and I texted Zach and said, hey, let's start a YouTube channel.
No, yeah, both. So we started the YouTube channel and we didn't film anything.
Hunted a whole year
without getting any footage. I'm pretty sure we both had the same issue on, like, if I remember correctly, we both killed like one deer that year each.
Yeah.
And when I went to film my deer, my camera battery was dead. And you just forgot to put press record or something.
No, I pressed record. I looked up at it.
And the battery died?
And I press record on the deer, looked down, I shot with my rifle. It's actually the last buck or last deer I've shot with my rifle. And put my rifle up, go to shoot it, shoot the deer, look back up at my camera, it died. Or it shut off.
Yeah.
Turn my camera back on after I got mad, I wanted to throw it. And looked, it came back on, had like half battery. So
that's crazy.
It just shut off. It was really cold that day. I assume that had something to do with it. But yeah, we filmed a whole year without having any success on the recording end.
Either way, when I wanted to film like a outdoor hunting type YouTube, I wanted to create that. I wanted to have somebody else have, you know, more content and stuff. And, you know, Kay was, I guess, my friend, and I was like, maybe that guy will work it out. So I came up with the idea for that, and then that first year, nothing really happened, and then this past year, when we really started getting into it, we really started hunting a lot harder and filming every time we went in the woods. I was like, hey, we should start a podcast, and you're like, I don't know about that, and then...
like. 6 months passed.
Yeah.
And then
a couple months ago, you were like, hey, let's start a podcast.
And I'm like, hey, I'm gonna order the stuff to start a podcast.
Yeah.
But when we first decided to start filming, we spent like 4 or 5 weeks throwing back names to each other.
It took a little while
before I just thought up the name 25 Feet High Outdoors.
I don't think I liked that at first.
Yeah.
But I like it now.
I got to the point to like, I got tired of thinking about it.
Yeah.
I got tired of trying to come up with a name. I just said, you know, we 25 feet high. That's, you know, 20, you're closer to God. That's a pretty good height to climb. And it's turned into the 25 High Life. So, We appreciate y'all going on this journey. This podcast is running a little bit longer than I thought it would, but that's what happens when you get the story time.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add to that?
I want to add that you should definitely go check out our merch.
Yeah, check it out. We got these sweet hats.
We're both wearing the blackout. Well, not really blackout. It's a black hat with the logo on it. They're very comfortable hats. I didn't like them at first, but and that's because
they're like a Richardson. That they're not a Richardson brand.
But they're really nice hats.
Yeah,
they're very comfortable.
I wear it every day.
I wear mine every now and then.
I've already went through like two of them.
You're rough on a hat.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a single day you'll ever see me without wearing a hat. The only time you see me without a hat, there's three times when I'm asleep, when I'm at a wedding, or if I had to go to a funeral. That's the only three times I don't wear a hat.
Do you wear a hat when you shower?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. You know, you got to do what it takes.
I mean, okay. But, yeah.
It's a lifestyle, babe.
I guess. Okay.
But, hey, guys, well, I appreciate y'all listening to this. I know we just get a little bit of story time. We're going to do some more of these in the future. Probably going to bring in some of our buddies to do a little bit of story time as well. But we appreciate y'all watching. Remember to get out.
They didn't watch this. If they did, I'd be really freaked out.
I appreciate y'all listening. I'll get better at this, guys. I appreciate y'all listening. Remember to get out. Live life 25 high, enjoy God's creation, and thank you for staying with us. Y'all have a great day, great night, great morning, whatever time you're listening to this.
And we'll catch you next time.